Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many things to say to you, His people. He loves you. He cares about you. And He's been doing things to help us for a very long time. Remember something about the Lord. He's governing all things. He has to deal with all things. The Lord, our God, made a wonderful angel named Lucifer. And Lucifer started a rebellion. He lost focus. He looked at himself. He was beautiful. And then he looked at his wisdom. And then he desired the worship and praise that goes to God for himself. And he started a rebellion against God. And God, he has to deal with it. This is where you come in. The Lord made Adam. He judged Lucifer's kingdom, all of it. That's why the earth was without, was void and desolate, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But when he first made it, it was good. Everything God makes is good. Nothing bad can come from God. Because a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Bad fruit comes from evil. God, there's no evil in God. So He can't make something evil. You got to get that. If something terrible happens in your life, it's not God. God has nothing to do with the evil that happens against us. But the Lord made us in His image to represent Him fully. And we do so by choosing life that He gave us through Jesus Christ. All sin came into the world through one man. So God gave life through one man and defeated sin through that same one man. Now you have to get on board with God. And I want to show you some examples that must be understood for you to go forward like you're supposed to, like you're designed to. But guess what? Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your efforts. Don't look at your strengths. And don't even consider your weaknesses. You're going to do this. Look to the Lord. For once, look to the Lord only. Look at His word, what He had to say. Solve your problems biblically. Learn His ways. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn my ways. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And it is. I can testify that it is. And I had all the same troubles you have. The things that go through, that you go through, we all go through. But guess what? Every time I had a big problem, or a small problem, when I sought the Lord, I got a solution. And that's what I want to focus on. Jesus Christ is our solution. His word is our solution. The beautiful guidance of the Holy Spirit, our solution. But you have to have the love of God. You have to keep and cherish your first love. That's where your strength comes from. That's how you relate to God. That's what connects you to salvation, your love. That's what keeps you in salvation, your love. That's how you're going to grow and defeat Satan. It's not your strength. It's not your might. It's not your wisdom. It's your love for God. Don't forget that, because that's how you're going to win this. Now, when people lose their love, nothing works no more. There are many people trying to understand the Word of God, but if they don't have the love of God first, if they don't have the love for His truth, then none of it will make sense to them. But when you desire that pure love of God, it'll all make sense. And you'll see the world for the lie that it is. There's an Antichrist coming. People wouldn't receive the real Christ. And those that wouldn't receive the real Christ will be vacuumed into the Antichrist. They'll believe the Antichrist. He's going to make himself look good, appeal to you. He's going to make you think that he's the best option. And he's going to seduce many people in the world, but not everybody. Because Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. It's not those who are the smartest. It's not those who are the most intelligent. It's not those who are the most prosperous. It's those who know the Lord. You can be on food stamps and learn to know the Lord, and you are out with the Antichrist. Now, it's not about what you have. It's about your potential in Christ. And you don't have to remain in the condition that you happen to be in. And most people are in a poor condition because of the war. What war? The spiritual war. There was always a spiritual war. Now, Jesus taught a parable of the wheat and the tares. A farmer sowed wheat in his field. Then when it grew up, some of it was tares. And he was puzzled about it, wondering how it happened. And the angel said, "Do you want me to go down and see the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat to tear things down, to neutralize it?" And you can't tell wheat from tares until they produce fruit. In every assembly of God, the enemy attempts to sow tares, and he does it when the church is asleep, when they're not watching. A church that's watching, a pastor that preaches the truth, he can only produce good fruit. And when people come in and they have evil intentions, if they can't get a foothold, they will leave. But if there's something wrong going on, they'll hide in it. They'll hide in whatever's wrong that's going on. That's where the enemy will hide. And he's trying to get to the top to tear the church down. Not just a denomination. See, sometimes people thought, well, my denomination is right with God and other denominations are wrong. I've heard that all my life. That's not the way it is. I grew up in the church. I've been going to church all my life. My dad was a Methodist pastor. And sometimes people are narrow-minded. They think that, well, our church believe right and other churches is not. That's not the way it is. Whoever loves God is right with him. Now, we all come to God, to Father God. We all come to Father God through Jesus Christ. Anybody that believes on Jesus Christ, it ain't but one church. And that's those who believe on Jesus Christ. Now, you got a label on your building, on your sign out front. That doesn't mean nothing. It's the faith that you have in your heart. Well, I love the Holiness Church. I love the Assembly of God. I love the Pentecostal movement. I love Word of Faith. Well, I'm a hard shell Baptist. Well, I love the Methodist Church. In every one of those churches I just mentioned, there are wonderful people of God there that love him. I've seen it with my own eyes. People from every one of those types of churches have blessed my heart. And I remember messages from every one of them. And they have differences of opinion. Some of them believe part of the Word of God, but they still affect it. Some of them believe all the Word of God, and they still miss the mark. And they are effective with the light that they have. And all of them are trying to, the enemy's trying to tear all of them down. But when you love the Lord your God and King, and when you're awake and you're praying and you're interceding, see, when you go to church, the Lord may send you to a church. That doesn't mean that everything is perfect. That's where you come in. That's where you have to intercede. That's where you have to pray. And you have to walk in the light no matter what. And if you walk in the light of God's word, you will be misunderstood. Some people will take it the wrong way. Because when it's just like a good marriage, a man may have good intentions, but if his wife is aggravated, the enemy will come in her ear and say, "He don't love you. Look at this problem. Look at what he's doing. If he loved you, he'd do this. If he loved you, he'd do that." You can't do people that way because people think the way they think. They can't think like you think. And it happens the other way around. A wife can be, "I'm going to clean up the house. I'm going to do right. I'm trying to honor my husband. She read the word of God." And then when the husband come home, she's, you know, a lot of men are intimidated by beautiful women. They think that she's so beautiful, somebody, she got somebody else. And he'll listen to that fear. And he won't notice the good, the fact that she really loves him. He'll accuse her because he has fear and it got in his heart. And he may even be abusive. I've heard all kind of crazy stories like that. Why? Because you have an enemy. And people don't think, the word of God exposes the fact that you really have an enemy. So when people don't go to church and Sunday school, they don't learn the fact that they really do have an enemy. And when people do nothing, you have to deal with sin. You have to put it under your foot, or it'll put you under its foot. And sin will cause you to be Satan's slave. Nothing but a slave of Satan. And you don't want that. This is what has happened to our society. This is what has happened to our churches. This is what has happened to the ages of men. This is nothing new. When the apostles were on the scene, they said, some of you, there will be wolves among the sheep. The enemy is going to send people, charlatans, to mess everything up. And some of you will follow the way of Satan, so to speak. Peter said it and Paul said it. And they allure men after themselves. And these seeds of evil started a long time ago. When Jesus went about doing good and doing miracles, everybody didn't like it. A lot of people were saved. A lot of people were healed and blessed. And they got saved. They believed on Christ. They got baptized by John the Baptist. They became believers. They were doing good. And it was so effective. It went all, the news of Jesus went everywhere, all around the world. Well, the religious movement that was seduced by the devil, they're just like the tares in our modern church. They don't care about that. They wanted Jesus dead. And they chose, you think the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Sanhedrin Council was evil. They tried to get Jesus killed. Pilate had enough sense not to kill him. He turned him over to Herod. Then Herod sent him back. He had enough sense not to kill him. And then Pilate washed his hands and gave him over to them. And the people, he thought the people would choose Jesus over Barabbas. And they chose, and he already said it. He said, whoever you choose will be persecuted. Whoever you choose will be set free. And the crowd chose Barabbas. So people are no different now. Now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. The only one qualified to give you life, they chose Barabbas over him. And they're still doing it. And everybody who cheat on their wife, cheat on their husband, get in strife with their sisters and brothers, and won't forgive, they chose Barabbas too. Everybody that loves evil, everybody that loves what's wrong and shun what's right, they chose Barabbas. When the Antichrist appears, they're going to be the first in line to get their stamp on their head or on their right hand. And some of them go to church. Some of them are pastors. Everybody that steal, people that love money more than God, they're going to be in line to get their stamp. You're going to see this with your eyes. Because you don't. It's on the horizon. It's coming. Now, if you love God, you're going to be immune to all of that. And you're going to live with your eyes in your head wide open. And you're going to see the world for the lie that it really is. And with the love of God, you're going to overcome the world. Your faith overcomes the world, but your faith works by love. Your love causes you to trust God. If you're doing wrong and you know it, the fear of the Lord come upon you. If there's no love in your heart, the fear of the Lord won't work no more. So it's not the label on the sign on your church. It's the love of God in your own heart. You believed on Jesus. The only people that God can rapture are those who have been washed in the blood, and they will not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if they were in Adam's position all over again. People who God rapture will be sincere. They were falling. They're in love with God, and their faith overcomes the world. And before the Lord destroys all this, he's going to take his people out of the way. But those who he leaves behind, they love the world somewhere. You have to do two things. You have to say yes to God and no to the world. You have to overcome it. And you can't just, you have to win the war within. Fill your heart with the love of God. Drive out everything that's not like Jesus Christ. Everything that he said put away from you, put it away from you. And then you have to be strong enough to overcome the persuasion of the people around you every day. And then you have to be strong enough to overcome the pressure of society. See, society has its own culture. You got to overcome all that. And you got to overcome your own will, other people's will, and the will of the whole world. And do what God said in the face of every nation. Those are the kind of people he's on the rapture. People who are awake to God. People who are alive to God and dead to sin. We have to say yes and we have to say no. Yes to God, no to everything of the world. You have, just like if you had cancer, you got to say no to that cancer. And you have to say yes to the healing power of God in your heart. And you can live, because healing is in redemption. And you're going to stop being poor too. You're going to start not, your poverty, the amount of your wealth has nothing to do with your salvation. Because disobedience is the first cause of poverty. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about intelligence. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about wisdom. All this is, when you have wisdom, you have prosperity. When you have health, you got prosperity. When you have money in your pocket, that's the lowest form of prosperity. But when you follow God's word, you are designed to prosper biblically. And you do so by being a blessing to other people. You don't have to be wealthy to go about doing good. If you see somebody needs some help that and they can't help themselves, help them. Give them good information. If you know about something good, just tell somebody about what you know. You don't have to dig deep in your pockets to help everybody. You'll run out of money fast. Work as unto God. Speak the words as God teach you. Help others see the same thing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, if there's anybody that I'm near, if I'm 20 feet away from anybody that needs something that I've got, that I know, open the door for me to talk to them. We shouldn't be like ships in the night full of information and there's somebody about to commit suicide in the corner. We need to be a blessing. Open your eyes. Just be sensitive to the wonderful Holy Spirit. Just like when you have a hard case and you're asking questions, you're asking God to help you. Just be sincere. You're not going to, just a few adjustments will make the difference. And God will open doors for you, doors of opportunity. He'll give you a job. You work as under God on that job. And you can end up being promoted and making much more money. And see, as long as you are seeking the kingdom of God, you're going to have new vision. You're going to learn that the way things were shouldn't have been. And you're going to easily overcome it. And I say easily overcome it as you receive the light of God's word. Now, you have to have a healthy study habit. Some people don't like to read. But nowadays, you get you a smartphone and get that free Bible app and put it on there and listen to it. While you're doing your work, while you're washing your dishes, while you're washing your car. Just take a few hours out of your day while you're already in motion doing things. Just listen to the word. And sometimes take time and just spend time with the Lord in prayer. And you can study the word of God while you're praying. Most of my praying is listening. I say, Lord, teach me this. I decide I'm going to learn something. I may not be skilled at it. I may not understand it. I ask the Lord my concerns, and I listen. Listening is prayer. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to understand. That's what this website is for. See, if you're listening to this broadcast, this portion of the broadcast Only people on the website will hear this. The first 15 minutes is on the radio. Now, as you listen to it, and the, you know, this is a tool to help you grow in your own relationship with the Lord. You have to, there's no substitute for you praying to the Lord yourself. There's no substitute for you seeking the Lord for yourself. Preachers are here to help you. We're like coaches. God gave you the talents on the inside, and we just help people build what they got. But your relationship's going to take over. Use the tools. Use the ministry. Everything you hear. I listen to ministers too on YouTube. And I thank God that there are so many preachers that's talking like God talked to me in my prayer chamber. Used to, the Lord was telling me all kinds of things in my prayer chamber, and I would never hear it over the pulpit. And I felt bad about it. Now, I'm not in competition, but I want to see every man of God be the man of God that they can be. And I want them to do better than I do. It's not a competition, but I want to see people. I know that they can grow. I know anybody with ears to hear can hear what God has to say, and God will bring out the best in them. Did you know that there are deep talents in you? If you're designed to live forever and you're made in the image of God, you are a problem solver. You have treasures of talents that will come to the surface. See, it don't matter. Wherever you go, God puts something in you that can rise to the surface. All you need is the structure of His Word and the love of God in you. And God will easily show you what's already there in you, what He put in you. You can't make somebody that's going to live forever and give them one talent. That doesn't make sense. And God do things in a wise manner. Everybody has something to offer. The Word of God helps us love Him, gives us insight, and we have the ability, we have the same abilities that God has, because He made us in His image. I believe, man, there's no limit to how far we can go and how much we can grow and what we can accomplish. But all we have to do is yield to the Lord. Our strength is in our love. We can always get wisdom. We can always get knowledge. The talents that He put in us are already there. They'll be developed later. Just don't go to hell where it'll be wasted. Hell is for people that hate God. And this is why God had to make hell. People can become so dangerous that fire is the only way to stop it. We're made in God's image. And you're going to live somewhere forever. You're going to either go to God and live in His kingdom, and the universe is His kingdom, but hell is where Satan's kingdom is going to end. Everything that's not of God is going to hell, and it's going to be there forever. And every soul is so precious to God. He really wants you, He wants you to be in His kingdom with Him because He cares about you. But sin, He cannot permit that cancer of sin in His kingdom. If you have a seed of rebellion in you, and it's in your heart, over time it will grow to the point that you'll do worse than what Satan did. You have to drive out everything that's not like God. I started saying with my mouth, by faith, that everything that's not like Jesus got to go. And I started saying by faith, and I mean by faith, that I will do all that's in God's heart, so that when He give me something that I'm not familiar with, I'll jump on it. When He give me an assignment that I wouldn't normally do, that's new to me, I'll believe Him and jump on it and do it and finish it. We have to do this. Rehoboam, king, the son of Solomon, should have been the best king they ever had. Because if you were raised by Solomon, if you were raised by Solomon with the wisdom that he had, you had great potential. But he didn't establish his heart to follow God. He didn't even listen to the wise counsel of Saul's advisors. He listened to the people that he grew up with. And the kingdom was divided because he was so foolish. And most people do the same thing. You can't govern your life with worldly influences. If you've been hurt by the past, and people that are hurt, they focus on the hurt. And they make decisions because of the hurt. Sometimes it's because of what happened to their parents. A man cheated on his wife. And they ended up, his wife had to move from house to house because she didn't have the money without the income of her husband. And then the daughter grew up miserable because of it. And it hurt her to the core. Now this scenario has played out so many ways. I've heard it so many times. I'm not talking about one particular person. But when the mother talked from that hurt, with all that conviction and animosity grows in her children. And when they have a good marriage, anything that don't look right, they revert back to the advice of their mother that was hurt. See, a hurt will cause you to lose everything. If you focus on a hurt, you'll get in fear and you'll try to guide your life away from that hurt, and Satan will use your weakness against you. You have to heal as a person. And the way we heal is to forgive when we've been hurt. And there are other challenges too. Sometimes it's greed. The way you kill greed is you have to be a contributor. Start giving. I'm just making it so. It's so many. But these are the main three. Lust and greed. You have to love and you'll kill lust. You have to be a contributor. You'll kill greed. You have to forgive people that hurt you because God forgave us when we hurt him. When we didn't agree, when we did wrong, God forgave us. So we have to forgive others just like God forgave us. And it's reasonable. And it is holy for God. If you don't forgive, he will not forgive you. And that's justice. He forgave you millions of sins. So you're going to forgive others of all the sins they've done against you. And you have to prepare your heart to do so. And sometimes you have to do it by faith. Sometimes it's a challenge. I'm just being honest. But do it. And wherever you're weak, don't depend on your strength. Ask God to help you forgive this person. And one way that made it easy for me, whoever I was trying to forgive, I started praying for them. And it got easier to pray for them, and it became easy to forgive to the point that I felt the peace of God again. I knew I had completely forgiven them. But you have to start where you have to and be nice to people. That be nice to everybody. Be kind. Treat people like you want to be treated. Now, Peter said something even better than what Jesus said. Jesus said, love everybody like Jesus loved you. If you get good at 1 Peter chapter 1, and actually the whole book of 1 Peter should be one chapter. They put the chapters in the wrong places. God didn't chapterize the documents. Man did that. And they put the chapter in the worst places they possibly could, because the enemy don't want you to know. He sent tabs in churches because he don't want you to know. He sent you spouses that's hurt or in fear or worldly, because he want to shut your life down. But you got to rise above whatever he sent, and you got to do it God's way. If you get married and you having trouble because of a bad marriage, do it God. Love the person anyway, and ask the Lord to give you wisdom for the situation you have. Just handle it biblically. It's very important. Don't just quit. Just handle it biblically. Do what God said. Some marriages are dangerous, and the Lord may have you to leave before you get killed. But that's why you have to pay attention. Some people won't leave, and then they get killed, and God said, I told you to leave. But God will give you a tailor-made healing process. The wisdom of God for somebody else is different from the wisdom he'll give you, but the word of God is the same. Because God knows the hearts of men, what they will and will not do, what they can and can't accomplish, what they will and will not accomplish. So if you listen to him, you'll be safe. And there's no limit to how much joy you can have. Doesn't matter what condition you came from. It doesn't matter what your situation is now. You can still have the peace of God.